Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and I want to invite you to join me each and every week as we tackle the hottest stories, topics, and trends about today's entrepreneur right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM, WRHU. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for being on board. And if you're on Facebook and you'd like to see what's going on, the latest and the greatest, visit us at the Profit Express page. Give us a thumbs up. Let us know what you think about the guests and guests that you'd love to see, hear, on the show. And we'll get them on for you. So thanks again for listening. Now, today's bottom line benefit, which will be on at around 6:45, we are having a special guest live in studio, and it happens to be the first ever radio appearance of one of the up-and-coming stars in the online marketing scene, and it is Fat Guy Media's very own man behind the green mask himself, the Fat Guy himself, and he will be here to share some strategies to help you optimize your very own online marketing presence. That's right, the Fat Guy is going to be here live in green and in studio, so you're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned right here to 88.7 FM, WRHU. Now, if you are in the mood to hear a hugely inspiring story of entrepreneurial success, then today's show is for you. My guest and his journey as an entrepreneur started when he was just 12 years old, apprenticing for his father. Now, little did he know at the time that his journey would end up being followed by millions of Americans as they followed him on reality TV, on the Discovery Channel, as well as TLC for nearly a decade. And his journey involved the design and build of some of the most popular custom motorcycles ever built, all while dealing with a tumultuous relationship with his father that regularly included flying wrenches, throwing garbage cans, and fists through doors. And it was the perfect scenario, of course, for a hugely popular reality TV show. And of course, it wouldn't be reality TV unless you got fired by your own dad, which of course happened to him in late 2008. And if you haven't guessed who today's guest is, I'm describing none other than Paul Tuttle Jr. and his journey from Orange County Choppers and the American Choppers show to his own hugely successful business today that is Paul Jr. Designs. Now, I'm a huge believer that every entrepreneur has a great story, and Paul is no exception. So it's a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Paul Tuttle Jr. How are you today?
Good. How you doing, Tim? That was it was a heck of an intro, I got to tell you. It was pretty good.
Well, you know, I got to match. You know, when I get the big stars on the show, the big guests, you know, I got to meet them. You know, my engineer, when he heard you were on today, I can't tell you how excited he was. He's a big fan.
That's great.
So,
thanks for having me. It's great. Yeah.
No, thanks for being on. Now, Paul Jr. Designs has been around for over 4 years. What has been the biggest adjustment being on your own?
Well, you know, I mean, it was in 2008 that, you know, we had the separation with my father. He decided that he was going to fire me, and that kind of set kind of a chain of events in place. I mean, from that point on, you know, really the interesting thing about being on my own was, whilst transitioning into it, you know, you're taking all the risks that anyone does when they go out on their own, which is the unknown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you got to understand, you do all these years, 11 years of television, really 12 years, 13 years of being partners with my father in Orange County Choppers. So kind of taking it from the ground up with my father, and being kind of the creative force behind the bikes and the products that everyone was wearing and using. And so that heavy investment at an early age, and then to transition into Paul Junior Designs, which was, you know, I always really thought that I would be with OCC, you know, forever, and I would take over the company right up until the last day when I got fired. I always kind of held to that, even though things were unstable.
Right.
I always thought that would be the case. So, you know, it's interesting. You go right into a mode, you start to separate yourself from the very thing that you've created and loved. And, you know, not by myself. I didn't do it by myself, but I had a heavy hand in it, you know, from a creative standpoint, designing the logo that everyone loved and all these bikes. And so it's interesting because you spend the first half of your career, your adult life, promoting something, and it's like now you're in the second half and you're trying to sever it, step away from it. So it's interesting. It's very emotional. You got to emotionally detach yourself and then sign up for what's next. And that's been the interesting part. But, I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world. But the absence of the unhealthy relationship has opened up a whole different level of creative for me, and just a much healthier lifestyle. You just don't, you know, when you come in, when you get away from the unhealthiness, when you're there, you don't know it's there. But when you come away from it, you realize what it is that you were tolerating.
Right.
And then it becomes intolerable. So, you know, I have no tolerance for any level of abusiveness in my life at this stage. So it's kind of interesting.
You know what's funny? When you separated from OCC, and maybe you just answered my next question, when you had that, I think you had a year non-compete in between.
Yeah.
So what was the one thing that you knew you definitely didn't want to bring with you or do, you know, going from Orange County to Paul Junior Designs?
You know, it's interesting, I'll say this, that 1 year was a godsend. I was so done with motorcycles. It was just the stress level with me and my father, and it was just so bad, and it had just gotten old, and so I needed that year. But the one thing I knew I didn't want to take was that kind of turmoil, the chaos. I think my father feels that in order to get things done, he has to create chaos. And I've always felt the complete opposite of that. So I said, look, if I'm going to go somewhere, I'm not bringing that. There's no room for it. It's a hindrance. It doesn't help anything.
Sure.
So I think that was the biggest thing. I wanted to have a real clean start. And that 1 year of not building bikes also gave me some different creative avenues to tap into, and it helped me kind of get off the ground. And then as soon as that 1 year non-compete was up, we went, you know, we found a building and we started going at it again, you know.
So then, you know, the show was on air for over a decade. How much was the slamming wrenches and the throwing garbage cans? How much was reality? And how much was, I mean, because TV, let's face it, you know, we get this ratings,
sure.
We want to sell.
Well, can I just tell you something? The reality shows you're watching today are scripted. I'll just tell you that. I know many of them, and I know about them, and they're scripted. We just happen to be really one of the first, if not the first, true reality show where, you know, there wasn't anything to win. You know, you can get kicked off the island or, you know, that before that's all you had before that. We came in as a real family. We didn't even know what we were. Nobody did, you know. We were just us, right? So that's what made it kind of raw and original. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, that's what resonated with people. And, you know, all of that stuff was real. We didn't know how to be. You know, we didn't even know what we were doing. We weren't actors. We didn't even want to be on television, or at least we didn't aspire to it. It just came to us. You know what I mean? It wasn't like we were out pitching a show.
Right.
The producer found us and said, hey, we'd like to film you guys. And we're like, sure. So, and that's kind of how it kicked off, you know. So, and that's real reality, you know. And that's not to say that you can't soft script and still be yourself, because I think that's what you're seeing some of. You know, you could write television around characters that are already them. So there's truth to what they're doing, but it's not pure reality like we were. The problem with the way we were, it's hard for a network to sign up. See, we just came out of the gate and became a phenomenon.
Right.
But you can't, it's hard to sell that because networks want to know what it is they're getting for the next 12, 24, 36 episodes.
Sure.
And they kind of want it, you know, they want reassurances. They don't want to, nobody gets to do what we did, which is just be us, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore. Nobody's opening that door. Even the stuff you think is real, it's all very, very organized and planned out, and people are put into positions and their setups. And so, and that's kind of where reality television's gone, to a much more controlled environment. And that's what you're seeing. But you know what I find? People don't care. They just don't care. As long as it's juicy and they're, and they're liking what they see, it doesn't matter how fake it is, they're being entertained. So that's kind of where it's gone, you know?
But you know, I was definitely, I consider myself a fan, watched, you know, many of the episodes, followed it pretty consistently. And the negative, like you said, you didn't want to bring that negativity from Orange County to Paul Jr. Designs. And I just, sometimes watching as a fan, it got exhausting a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, I think the first 4 or 5 years, people were just blown away. Because they were like, oh, okay, we're not the only crazy people out there, right? It was just kind of set like a precedent. And then the motorcycle thing was really cool. There was like a purpose, right? This great thing came out of the chaos, so to speak. But, you know, after a while, it got tiring. And then with the separation, it got disturbing, you know? It went from relatable to people can't relate anymore. Yeah, maybe we fight, but at the end of the day, you know, we make up.
Right.
When the separation took place, you know, my father just went down a path that, I mean, he could have done the opposite and been a bigger person or whatever, but he didn't do that. He came after us with everything he had. He sued me, and it got so ugly, and we did nothing to retaliate against anything he did, not even verbally, because we were so focused on building our company.
Right.
We didn't have time to look at what he was doing, but what I found was they put so much attention on us that when you watch the show, you had our segment of the show, then their segment of the show, which was whatever they were doing and how worried they were about what we were doing. And it went on for like 4 years like that. So we ended up getting a lot of, it worked out good for us because they made us look even better than we were, you know, and we were trying to do the right thing all the way through. And we continue to try and do the right thing. And that's been very successful for us. I could tell you that all the people we've done business with, we've never burned a bridge, and we're doing business with them today, and we don't have a show. But we're busy, and they're keeping us busy, and our relationships have kept us up. You can't say that for everyone. Some people, they really burn bridges behind them, and then when things slow down, there's no one there, you know? So you just, I don't know.
It's a lonely way to be, actually. It'll certainly catch up with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And folks, you're listening to The Prophet Express right here on 88.7 FM, WRHU. Today's guest, none other than Paul Tuttle Jr. of Paul Jr. Designs. And it's a great entrepreneurial success story, which, you know, I'm a big believer. Every great business has a great story behind it. And we're happy to have Paul sharing his story today. How are you and your dad today?
You know, it's interesting. We're coexisting on some level. There's not much of a relationship, but it's also not necessarily bad blood, so that's the good thing, you know? I mean,
okay.
I'm hoping it gets better, but right now there's really not much of a relationship, which to me is better than us being at war.
Sure, sure.
You know, I don't know. You know, some of these things, are just, it's interesting how it all plays out, you know?
Well, that's life.
Yeah.
And life,
you know,
and
I'd love to tell you everything's great, you know, because that's what everyone wants to hear. But, you know, I'm just going to be honest about it. It's not always great, you know.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's reality. And, you know,
that's it.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, you and the folks, and let's talk about an exciting project you've got going on. You and the folks at Blizzard Entertainment, for those who don't know, Blizzard Entertainment are the folks who make that popular, the World of Warcraft video game. You guys have come together for what's a pretty unique, some have even said, some of the blogs I've been reading, almost like a surprising kind of project for you.
Yeah.
So what can you tell the fans, you know, your fans, the World of Warcraft fans, what is this all about? What's going on?
Well, basically, Blizzard approached us because they wanted to do two bikes for World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft has two factions in it, good and evil, and the fans behind each faction are rabid about which one they like better. Alliance is good, and Horde is evil. And it's a global video game, and it has a massive fan base. And so what we've gone ahead and done is built these two I don't even want to call them bikes. They're more like platforms. I mean, there's something altogether different from anything we've ever done. Very fun creatively. And we did it inside the shop, and we did it with two different teams. But the creative was done by me on both sides, correlating with my two teams, one Horde, one Alliance. And it was a great, really fun project. It's been like 9 to 11 minute episodes airing weekly for the past 7 weeks. And it's really, really exciting. So the way it's really for the fans. So in the end of this whole thing, they're going to pick the Horde of the Alliance, and one or the other, whichever gets picked, that more fans like is going to go in the video game. So the best and most favorite out of the two projects is going to actually get reverse engineered and put into a video game, which is exciting because that's never been done before. And we built these bikes to fit this Azeroth world. So the world that World of Warcraft is in, that these two factions are in, is called Azeroth, and then they named it Azeroth Choppers. And it's just fun, you know. We're coming close to the end of the series, and we're getting ready to do a live unveil out there next week at Blizzard headquarters in Irvine. And so it's been great, you know.
Now, again, for the folks listening out there, you get the Azeroth Choppers. Actually, it's an online video series.
Yes, yeah,
right,
that's right.
Right, and I actually caught up with most of it yesterday, okay? And the bikes, like you said, you almost want to call it a bike in a way. Some pretty intense design.
Yes.
Now, so here you are, you know, all your history and your experience in designing custom bikes. How do you, you know, I saw it was pretty funny, you sitting down with these, you know, some would call them geeks, you know, these video game geeks.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you see these guys, I mean, super creative.
So now, super creative.
How do you combine the, you know, the fictional world of, you know, online gaming, World of Warcraft, with, hey, we're going to build a bike?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I've done everything, you know. The thing that really has kept the interest on the bike side through the years has been the themes, right? Because if we build the same bike every single time, we would have been done in two episodes. But
right.
the idea that we were able to constantly apply what we do with motorcycles to themes is what's kept us going all these years, because really it comes down to marketing. So you have to be able to apply it to what it is that the client has, does, or is, you know, whether it's a charity or corporation or individual, whatever it is. And so that's how you captivate people who have nothing to do with motorcycles. They relate it to, you know, the 9/11 memorial,
right?
Or, you know, 343 firemen, or, you know, there's all these themes that we just keep pulling in, and then all the corporate stuff in between. And that's how you're able to do it. And I guess I applied the exact same thing to Azeroth Choppers and these bikes for World of Warcraft. Only here, you know, we've done bikes for a medical company where they had a white box, and we've been able to do very successfully a bike for a white box. So when you give us a world, right, of Azeroth, which is so intense, there's so much creative. It's almost like overload. It's like more creative than you could ever even infuse. So for me, that's like it's like dessert compared to some of the, sometimes you really got to work hard.
Right, right.
And other times the creative comes. Now these were the two of the hardest projects I've ever done from a logistical standpoint, because I was doing creative at the same time. Remember, we don't have drawings. I don't do drawings. It's you create on the lift, because you start somewhere with the platforms, and then as you build it, it starts to tell you what it wants to be, both on the Horde and the Alliance side. So I'll tell you, it was the most exhausting, hardest build that I've ever done, because it was two builds that were extremely intense, that were both firsts, because neither of these things have ever been created before. And I took it just super seriously. Remember, the really unique situation we have that I don't think anyone in the world has, not one other person in the world, we get corporations like Blizzard to give us free reign creatively. No drawings, no approvals, no nothing. They just want to see what we're going to come up with. Now, these are corporations that have 7 to 10 layers for an approval on a T-shirt. And they give us pure creative freedom with their IP, with their brand, with their video games. In this situation, we've done the same thing with Cadillac. You know, we built Cadillac bikes, me and my father.
Yeah, you had a competition.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a competition there.
Yeah.
The OCC had to submit drawings. We said, look, you know, we don't do the drawings. And you know what the lead designer at Cadillac said? He said, look, we don't need that from you. We just want to see what you're going to come up with. So that's like, that's where the difference is. And that's the kind of amazing situation we have. And that's like real innovation and creativity. That's what I love about what I do right there.
But it also says a lot, because like you say, corporate, you know, these big corporations, you know, they have tons and tons of standards and requirements when it comes to the logo, the colors, the shapes, and giving you guys free reign. That really does say a lot.
It does. It's crazy. And you know, that's been why people come to us too. And, you know, here's the thing. Do a lot of these companies need motorcycles? They don't. You know what they need? They need marketing. So we fully understand that, right? So we're telling their story through our creative. These guys don't need motorcycles. They need outside-the-box marketing. And so the cooler that bike is, the more it fits them, the more it fits their product, the better the marketing. You follow me? So
sure.
That's what makes us successful. It's never, you know, I know we do cool bikes because we have a niche, but you can't ever get in the mindset that, oh, our bikes are the greatest. No, it's the marketing that you put behind it. That's what the value these people are getting out of it, you know?
And folks, it's the Profit Express, WRHU-FM in New York. Today's guest, Paul Tuttle Jr., of course, from Paul Jr. Designs. And we're talking about his latest project with Blizzard Entertainment, the makers of World of Warcraft. Now, I believe tomorrow, if I got it right, the voting starts on which bike it's going to be, Alliance or Horde.
That's right. Tomorrow they'll run through. They got all the beauty shots of the final products. And we've been hitting, I think our first episode we hit 2 million. In a week, just with the intro, we hit like 400 and something thousand, and we've been at a steady million plus every week for the past 7 weeks. So I think we should tip in this whole thing well over 10 million people. So that's pretty awesome on an internet-based webisode. And we definitely, I'll tell you, the quality that we put into it is second to none. And Blizzard, by the way, has been phenomenal to work with as a client, and the company that did the production is Endemol. They're one of the world's largest independent production companies. So, you know, the internet is coming very quickly into the forefront of people's minds. You know, it's content that you get when you want it, and in people's schedules in these days, that's how it works. I mean, I even watch my nieces and nephews and kids. They go right to their iPhones and iPads.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And they watch is what they want to see. They don't need television from that standpoint. So it's an interesting play going on right now.
Well, there's so many places to get content. You know, and like you said, you've got the numbers to prove it based on these webisodes so far. All right, now let me ask you, okay, how is Paul Jr. voting?
Oh, you know what?
Come on now, don't give me a politically correct answer.
I'll tell you, you know what? I got to be honest with you. It is so tough. You got to remember, they're kind of like both my babies, right? One's good and one's evil, so you got to love them both. But I think it's tough. I honestly don't, I'm not honestly sure. I think I'm leaning one way, but I really don't want to influence people. I want everyone to come up with their own thought of what they think is the best. And then maybe when it's all said and done, I'll weigh in, you know.
Oh, so you're not going to give us... All right, just between you and me.
I like the Azeroth Chopper bike.
Oh, right, very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Folks, it's the Profit Express on 88.7 FM. Hey, Paul, do you have a few minutes to stick around with us?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. Up next, with Paul Tuttle Jr., we're going to get what was one of his favorite personal bike projects right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM, WRHU.
Now, back to the Profit Express on 88.7 FM, WRHU. Once again, here is your host, Tim Healy.
And you're back with the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy. It's 88.7 FM, WRHU. And you know I love and believe that every great business, every great entrepreneur has an even better story behind them. And today I'm real excited to share what I think is one of the great stories out there today. It's Paul Tuttle Jr., of course, you know him from Orange County Chopper, American Chopper. Now he's on his own, as you all know, with Paul Jr. Designs. And it's just been a great conversation so far. And Paul, thanks so much for sharing some time with us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Tim.
You've done so many, just before the break, you're talking about, hey, what keeps you guys fresh are all the different themes.
Yeah.
And you've done some amazing themes. Do you have a personal favorite?
Yeah, you know, you got to remember, it's 12 years of doing this at a very rapid pace. You know, it's tough, I'll be honest with you, because I have a bunch of favorites, and all for good different reasons. I mean, you know, we did that fire bike back in the day, and that just meant so much to us and to the fans, and the timing was good on it. And we waited a ways after the whole the 9/11 incident, and it was just too. We don't want to be too close to it because it's such a heavy thing, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's heavy for everyone, but we're New Yorkers, so we really felt it. And when the time was right, we were able to do that bike. And then, you know, backing it up, we did the Black Widow, which was the first bike that I ever did that I just did creatively. It wasn't for a client that it kind of really kicked it off. And that's been, I think, out of all of our bikes, iconically, visually, people, I think that might be the number one favorite bike of all time. For people, just because it kicked off our series, and people just related to that bike so much. And then more recently, as PJD, you know, we did a 9/11 memorial bike for the new World Trade Center, which,
yeah.
Okay, that's like the biggest honor. And that bike is down there at the Visitor Center.
Yeah.
And people, millions of people a year go through there and see that bike and buy a t-shirt, buy a mug to support the 9/11 memorial. So I was in awe. I mean, I was really took that seriously. I was like, oh man, this is like a real, you know, what a compliment that they would come to me. I mean, they could go to any great artist anywhere in the world mm-hmm. and get a sculpture, get mm-hmm. any type of medium in art, and they came to us for a bike. And so, I don't know, that kind of stands out to me as more recent, but there's just so many great ones, charities and Make-A-Wish, and, you know, they all have their own place, I guess, you know?
Yeah. And that was certainly very humbling, the 9/11 tribute bike, yeah.
So humbling. Unbelievable.
Now, let's jump back for a moment to your project. Again, if you're just tuning in, you've got this really unique project with Blizzard Entertainment, the makers of World of Warcraft. Obviously, two very different groups of people. You know, bikers, okay, of which I'm not one, they're special people. You know, they're passionate about their bikes and riding
right.
and what it means, lifestyle. And, of course, you've got these gamers. They're passionate about what
yeah.
they do. Do you think this kind of a project may have alienated some real hardcore bike fans of yours?
I mean, I don't know. You know, there's always that hardcore people that have problems with things. I mean, you know, I think the hardcore fan of ours, absolutely not. This is one of the things they really love about us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our show has been such a, look, we have not relied solely on motorcycle riders for our ratings through the years, because they're in the minority. Although they're great fans of ours, the vast majority of people out there don't necessarily ride motorcycles, but they watch the show. So, you know, our group and it's always been families, and it's always been a mix of people. So I don't think we've alienated anyone. I mean, anyone who has a problem with it, it's kind of a problem, you know, because I'm just doing what I love, you know.
Now, it just came to me as we're having this conversation. So you've been on your own for 4 or 5 years. Being in this environment, we talked about not bringing the negative energy and all that stuff that was with OCC. Have you become more creative? Has your creativity sparked?
Oh, by far, yeah. Yeah, actually, I just thought about it. It's been more like 6 years.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah, it's been like 6 years. Yes. I mean, I think absolutely. You know, it's so interesting because it just the absence of the negativity and kind of coming into your own, you know, it was a very oppressive environment for me over there. And I didn't realize that I was being creative and functional, but it was under an oppressive kind of situation,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
just so in absence of that, I was able to grow just, you know, mature in not just, you know, grow up. For one, but also mature creatively. So from that standpoint, absolutely. Plus, you know, your determination changes when you're on your own. You're a little bit more driven. Everyone's looking to you. You feel a very high level of responsibility to all your employees and to make it and to succeed. So there's a whole different level of drive, I think, that comes with it. And then, of course, my wife changed my life as far as mm-hmm. her role in my life. Just the timing couldn't have been more perfect. So, you know, it was kind of a series of circumstances. But, you know, the overall creative has remained. I just think it's become a little bit more mature and more a little bit more experienced, if that makes any sense. And I'm also able to apply that creative to other things. We're building a car right now, actually, and we're theming it out, and I can't say too much about it, but it's coming out incredible. So we're doing that for a client. So it's not the limitations out there. I actually wrote commercials. We're going to be producing commercials for a big insurance company using some high caliber athletic talent. And so, you know, the creative process for me, I could apply it to other things because it's just that. It's the creative, you know.
So it like has a cross-pollination effect.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be any particular thing. It just has to be creative. And then you start to apply that. If I spend enough time on it, I could usually come up with something that is good. Like I wrote this commercial, and I had the idea in a very short period of time, and then I pitched it. And I wasn't even asked to, but they loved it, and so here we go. Now we're not only are we having the creative, but now we're going to be producing the commercials. So I'm going to get behind the camera, which is fun. So you know, I'm mixing it up a little right now, kind of stretching out a little bit. You know,
we only have a few minutes. I did two other quick questions.
Yeah,
fans of American Chopper were probably no doubt fans of your brother Mikey. How's he doing?
Yes.
How's he doing?
He's doing good, Mike. You know. I think he's like the rest of us. We're always on this journey, right, trying to figure out exactly when the next thing is. Because even though I have all these things going on, you're still like, okay, you know, I mean, the fans, everybody wants another show, you know. The one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to do another show for the sake of it. I want to do another show that's better than the first. So that's kind of where I'm living right now. So how do you get there? I don't know. You know, we really haven't tried to pitch anything or do anything like that. So it's
so there isn't one in the works necessarily.
We're kind of archiving some stuff. We're doing some new things and we're covering it, and so we're going to have it so that we can show it. And you know, but we're kind of there's also an interesting side to this that after over a decade on television, which was amazing but all consuming, and you don't realize how insane that lifestyle is until you're done with it. There is a part of me that says, no, just enjoy yourself. You know, my wife's just opened a boutique, and she's so creative, and she's doing all this build out and doing all these really creative things and fulfilling her dream and chasing her passions. And I'm sitting back, and even though I'm still working, I got a little bit more time because there's no cameras, and I'm able to watch her do that, and I'm getting so much enjoyment out of that. Where I'd be missing that if I was filming all the time. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely.
So, it's kind of a, you've got to try and find that balance, but we're not done with television, that's for sure.
I didn't think so. Maybe not right now, but.
No. I think for this time we're good, but we got a lot to offer, you know. We're young and we're really ambitious, so.
Yeah,
we'll be back.
It's got to figure out what's right.
It's got to be right, you know.
Going to pull you back in. Paul, it's been a great conversation. For the listeners out there, if you had a do-over in business so far, you've done a lot, but it's still been a relatively short speaking career for you. If you had a do-over in business, what would it be?
Gosh, that's a tough one. Oh, there's so many. Let me tell you something about being an entrepreneur. Man, you look back and you just look at, man, how can I have made so many mistakes? And I still say that, but you know what? You learn from them. So there's just so many along the way that I would have done this differently. I thought it was right, and you'd put the money in, it doesn't work. And, you know, one of the things that's come up more recently, I kind of wish I would have bought a building, but it didn't present itself, you know, because we've been renting our space over there. It's worked out. It's been a great space, but, you know, I look back, and I'm like, geez, we spent all this money. We don't even own the building, you know. So that I would have rather owned that, but, sometimes these opportunities don't come up, you know. The building's been great. It's just that's just kind of what's on the front of my mind. But, shoot, I've made investments that I thought were going to be the right one, and they just weren't.
They fizzled,
and
right.
All you can do is just don't make the same mistake. That's unfortunately, it's so, you know, I've learned a lot from what not to do from my father in so many ways, but there's only so much you can learn there. You got to stub your own toe enough, you know what I mean?
Of course.
And I could say I've learned some things to do from my father, too. I don't want to take everything away from him. He's also, you know, his drive has definitely rubbed off on me. It's just that we go about it differently, you know?
Would you have chosen to still get in business with him again?
You know, yeah, I don't know. I can't really say no because it was part of the phenomenon that we were, you know. And I didn't really have a choice, you know. It's what it was. I worked for my father from when I was very young in the steel business, and it transitioned into motorcycles. There was no options, right? It wasn't like I was an adult saying, hey, we're going to do this. It just happened, right? So I would do it. I mean, I wish it was smoother. I'm not going to lie. But we made history, and so, hey, it's what it is.
Paul, I have to thank you. It's been a great conversation. Best of luck with the Blizzard Project. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, keep us posted. We love to, keep following the Paul Tuttle Jr. Journey.
Yeah, sounds good, Tim. Thanks for the interview, bud.
My pleasure. Take care now.